back there. Make sure everyone gets one. I do want to thank you for your prayers and your love, your gifts, and your fellowship. It's been a lot. It has been a tough time. I'm surprised some of you remember what I look like. I've been here much. But Mike's with Mama tonight. That's where he is. So we do spend a lot of time over there. But I do thank you for all that you've done. Tonight, we're going to... Anybody enjoy Independence Day, July the 4th? Have a good time? That's good. Because tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about our history, about the American Revolution. And maybe we'll talk about it a little too much. But if you'll notice, we're still going to handle the usual amount of scripture front and back. So maybe you'll bear with me. I was reading about this preacher that preached back during the 1700s. And he was afraid that he was going to lose his job. And he thought maybe it was because he didn't preach long enough. So he asked his wife if she thought that it might be a good idea if he started preaching a little longer than 4 hours. True story. And I noticed y'all didn't exactly rush to get me up here singing over and over and over and over and over. So I'm not going to feel guilty. When I was in school, I didn't exactly love history the way that I do now. But back then, one of my favorite heroes was Nathan Hale, who said that my only regret is that I had but one life to give for my country. I kind of liked him because I played him, dressed as him one time in a little play. And of course, I remember Paul Revere and his famous Midnight Ride. But as I've gotten older and studied again, one of my favorites has come to be Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death, apparently came across as somewhat as a redneck hillbilly. But he was actually extremely intelligent. I got half of that down pat. I'm glad y'all got that. I was worried about it. But in honesty, I think that George Washington has become my favorite of all of the heroes from that time. George Washington was a great general, a very underestimated general. He was known as a general who knew how to lose. And that was usually made as a sarcastic remark, but it was very true. You got to remember that George Washington was always outnumbered and always outclassed. The enemy was much better trained, much better well trained. That's some pretty poor English, but we'll get through it. His men had to face starvation, a lack of supplies and sickness. And so, always being outnumbered like this, never ever really having the ability to win, George learned how to attack and to retreat. Attack and to retreat. And that was how he managed to just keep the war going. If you ever study it, you'll really enjoy it. He was quite a general. But there was another hero that I never knew was a hero. For the time being, we will just call him the Saratoga hero. By the way, has anybody ever heard of the Battle of Saratoga? A few heads being nodded. John, don't give it away. The Saratoga hero devised a plan to attack the British troops led by General Burgoyne. He was badly outnumbered, but he figured that he found an opportunity where his men, who knew the country better than the enemy, and who were very excellent shots, he found an opportunity that he thought he could take advantage of. When he had the enemy no longer in open territory, in the woods where he could attack them. And so he asked for reinforcements from General Gates. But General Gates refused to send him the reinforcements. They did not come, and he told him not to attack. Finally, because the Saratoga hero was so persistent, General Gates finally agreed to let him attack. But he told him to wait 2 hours. The Saratoga hero looked up and said, after about 5 minutes, I think it's been 2 hours now, and he went ahead and attacked. And General Gates only sent him one small battalion to help him out. But they won. They won 2-1. And when he got back to General Gates, he complained about the lack of reinforcements that Gates had sent him. Well, General Gates got so mad at him, he stripped him of his command. Well, the guy went back out there, and they attacked again. This time, he attacked as an enlisted man. But by this time, he was so well-loved by his men that it didn't matter. They still followed him. And this time, they whooped the British 4-1. During that battle, the Saratoga hero was wounded in the leg with a bullet wound. This battle was the turning point of the American Revolution. Because up until this battle, the colonies had never won a decisive victory. It had always been retreat and attack. And the colonies who had been trying so hard to get help from the French were always refused any help. And they wanted the help because England was their enemy. But they were afraid if they helped us and then England whooped us, they would just lose whatever they gave to us. Well, when we won that battle, they finally began to send us some money and some supplies, and they began to help us. If you study American history, you will find that historians, both modern historians who have studied that war, will tell you, many of them, that that was the turning point of the American Revolution. And ancient historians will also tell you that was the turning point of the war, the most important battle. Now, how many of you would like to know who the Saratoga hero was? I'm glad a few of you would like. Now, how many of you didn't know, but think you figured it out just by looking at the title? You don't think you figured it out, Ray? The Saratoga hero was Benedict Arnold. For those young fellows who don't know, Benedict Arnold is a synonym for traitor. But we find out here that this fella was a real hero. Arnold, fleeing down the Hudson River on a British ship, defended his treason in a letter to Washington stating that, quote, "Love to my country actuates my present conduct, however it may appear inconsistent to the world, who very seldom judge right of any man's actions." Was it love for his country that caused him to betray Washington at West Point? Was it love for his country that caused him to betray his country? Was it love for his country that caused him to betray the men that were under his command? Well, the answer to that, we'll have to wait. First, let's consider someone in the Bible who many people think was actually a patriot instead of a traitor. But before we do that, let's compare and contrast the United States, or should I say the 13 colonies, and the 12 tribes of Israel during the time of Jesus. Who controlled the colonies? England. Who controlled Israel? Rome. Who ruled the colonies? The king. Who ruled Rome? Caesar. Who chose the rulers in the colonies? England, or the king. Who chose the rulers in Israel? Pontius Pilate, Herod, Caesar. Who taxed the colonies? England. Remember the famous Tea Party and the tax they didn't want to pay for the tea? By the way, this question was supposed to get easier as we went along, you know, because it's always England and Rome. Y'all need to help me out a little bit. Now, who taxed Israel? Well, that's a little bit better. Like the colonies, Israel was tired of foreign oppression. Like the colonies, Israel wanted freedom. Like the 13 colonies, Israel just needed someone who could unite them as one. Like the colonies, Israel just needed a great leader to lead them to victory. The scriptures had promised such a man. The scriptures had promised a Messiah. Look in the second box on your handout. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. The scripture had promised a Messiah who would come and deliver them, and they were ready to be delivered from Rome. Matthew 2:2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Judas, like the other disciples, thought that he had found such a leader, the King, the Messiah. He fit the description. He fit the description foretold by the prophets. He had royal blood. He was even a descendant of the most famous king in the history of Israel, King David. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Judas thought this was the deliverer. Like George Washington, this man could unite Israel and lead them to victory against Roman oppression. And so Judas joined up. But to his amazement, this man was so much more than a great leader. Look at the third box on your handout. This man could heal the sick. He could feed the hungry with nothing. He could stand up in the middle of an incredible storm and say, shh, and the storm would be quiet. He had authority over Satan and over demons, and on top of that, this man could actually raise the dead. What a king he would make. Add to that the huge following that he had. Sometimes just the men alone amounted to over 5,000. This man could be a great king. And with that kind of following and that kind of leader, surely this was it. They would rise up as a mighty nation again. They would throw off the shackles of Rome. They would defeat their enemies and rise to world prominence. They would usher in the kingdom of God on earth. Matthew 4:17, the kingdom of God is at hand. But then, things began to go wrong. Now look at the first box on the first page on the second column. Look at John 18:36. Things began to go wrong. Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world, but that it was a spiritual kingdom. Matthew 16:20. Jesus said not to tell anyone that he was the king. That was no way to grow a following. Jesus refused to show himself to the world. John 7:6. And then Matthew 15:12. Jesus would not unite with the other leaders of Israel. How could you pull the nation together if he wouldn't even unite with the other leaders? And look at John 13:33. Look at John 6:66. On top of all that, Jesus was preaching such hard sermons that many of his followers began to walk away. And then Jesus said that he was going to leave them, and they could not follow. And on top of that, look at Luke 21:12. Jesus was going to leave them, and they were going to be persecuted. This was not what Judas had signed up for. This was not what Israel needed. Israel needed a king. Jesus could be that king. And Judas was determined that Jesus would be that king. Judas would force Jesus to make a move. He would turn Jesus in, and then Jesus would have to show his power, the same power that healed the sick, calmed the storm, and raised the dead. Judas would force Jesus to defend himself and to show the world that he was the Messiah, the King of the world. And it looked like such a good plan. The crowds, the multitudes, had just hailed him as King, King of Israel. And then, on the night of the betrayal, when Judas led this army to arrest Jesus, Jesus simply said, "I am." And the whole group fell back to the ground. This was it. His plan was going to work. He had forced Jesus to reveal himself. He had forced Jesus to defend himself to his disciples. He had forced Jesus to show his power in order to defend himself. Yeah, Israel would unite. And this man who could simply say, "I am," and the whole army would fall to the ground. They would be great. This would be great. Israel would be great. But things went wrong. Jesus allowed them to take him. He simply showed his power to force the soldiers to let his disciples go. But he let them take him, and they arrested him. They bound him. They took him and beat him. They pulled his hair out and spit on his face. Then they tied him to a wooden pole and beat him with a whip with bones and metal that ripped his skin. And now they were going to nail him to a cross and crucify him. His plan had failed. He knew Jesus could be king. He knew Jesus could unite Israel against power. He knew Jesus had the power. But more than anything else, look at Matthew 27, verse 4. More than anything else, he knew that Jesus was innocent. And he could not stand to live with what he had done. So eventually, he committed suicide. What a sad ending. Was Judas simply a patriot? I bet a few of you have been squirming a little bit here as I made it sound like he was. Was he a loyal Jew who wanted nothing more than to see his country freed from Roman oppression? Has Judas been misunderstood all of these years? Or does Judas deserve the reputation that goes with his name? Make no mistake about it. Judas was no patriot. Judas was everything you've ever heard he was. He was a traitor. But now we're going to go back to Benedict Arnold. Let's consider Benedict Arnold again. Was he a traitor or was he a patriot? So far, it kind of sounded like he might have been a patriot, didn't it? It is true that he was the hero of Battle of Saratoga, and that this was the turning point of the whole American Revolution. And he claimed that his betrayal of Washington at West Point was for the love of country. But he did not just betray Washington at West Point. Remember, he also betrayed the men under his command, the soldiers under his command, and this entire nation. Do you want to know why? Is anybody curious as to why Benedict Arnold betrayed this nation? You are Ned. Talk to Ned. The first sign, as we go over these three signs, is the love of glory or the love of self. Galatians 5, verse 26, "Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Matthew 23:12 says, "Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." You remember that I told you that General Gates had stripped Arnold of his command at Saratoga? Well, he not only stripped him of his command, but when General Gates wrote Congress about the victory, he never, ever mentioned Benedict Arnold. He completely left out all that Benedict Arnold had done in that battle, the real hero. He took all of the credit for himself. And Congress was giving all of that glory, the glory for that victory, the victory that Benedict Arnold had masterminded, to someone else, and he was never, ever mentioned. He said this in a letter to Washington, "Having become a cripple in the service of my country, I little expected to meet such ungrateful returns." Now, if Benedict Arnold was a true patriot, would he have done it for the glory or for freedom? That's supposed to be an easy question. How many men do you think died in battle and gave their lives not for glory but for freedom? If he then pouts and goes to the other side just because he did not receive any glory, then he just spit on the graves of those men that died fighting for this nation. Benedict Arnold fought for glory. Other men fought for liberty. Other men starved and froze to death at Valley Forge for liberty. Other men bled for liberty. Other men died for liberty. No glory. No praise. No recognition, just liberty. And Benedict Arnold betrayed all those men because he did not get any glory. Do you know that this is the oldest sin in the book? By the way, you know, George Washington did find out, and Benedict Arnold would have got his due respect and time. That was why Washington gave him West Point. But of course, Benedict Arnold just couldn't wait. The oldest sin in the book, that is the sin of Satan himself. Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 13. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." And I think that this is the very sin that Satan used as a foothold to get to Judas. John 13, verse 27, Satan entered into him. Judas, like Satan and like Benedict Arnold, I think, wanted personal recognition. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a traitor? Do you serve Christ for personal recognition or because you love the Lord? This is the first sign of a traitor. It has many names: pride, power, personal glory. But it really just boils down to one thing: self. Do you love self or do you love Jesus? As a matter of fact, everything about a traitor revolves around love. And the second sign of a traitor is love for the enemy. Do you know what Benedict Arnold began to do after the Battle of Saratoga? I'll tell you. While Benedict Arnold was recuperating from his bullet wound that left him a bum leg, he met a woman. A woman. A dangerous woman. A Tory. Someone completely devoted to England and equally opposed to American freedom. No doubt, Benedict was already feeling down and depressed about the fact that Congress was giving all of the glory and credit for his victory to General Gates. And I can just hear this Tory girl now, fueling the fire, telling him how all that glory should have been his, telling him how he was such a better general than anybody else in the American Revolution, how he was probably even better than General Washington, how that if he would just sign up with the British, they would respect him for all of his many talents. And he bought into it. Everyone always thinks that they can handle hanging with the wrong crowd. Girls think that they can change that boy, and boys think that they can change that girl. But it usually happens the other way around. Benedict Arnold didn't change her. The hero of Saratoga was changed by a Tory woman. Don't hang with the wrong crowd. And especially young people. I know we hammer this time and time and time again. Only two sermons ago, it seems, I preached on peer pressure. And only a month ago, Jeff gave y'all a shot. But if there's any mistake that'll kill you, this is it. Don't think you can marry the wrong person and change them. It'll probably happen the other way around. Don't think you can run around with the wrong people and change them. It'll probably be the other way around. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now let me ask you a few questions. Do you love your mother? Boy, I'm glad I'm not a mother in here. Does anybody love their mother? Let's try it again. You ready? Is everybody ready? Do you love your mother?
Yes.
There we go. That's a little better. Would you hang around with people that hated your mother? Would you hang around with people that put your mother down and called her a liar? I wouldn't. I'd punch you in the nose. Do you love Jesus? Do you hang around with people that hate Jesus? Do you hang around with people that call Jesus a liar? And if they deny publicly that he's the Christ, they're calling him a liar. I know, Jesus hung out with publicans and sinners. But remember, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're hanging around with these people, it should have one purpose, to see them saved. Proverbs 1:15, my son, walk now not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. These are the signs of a traitor. Judas, like Benedict Arnold, like many in the church, found himself fraternizing with the enemy. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest. Jesus had warned the disciples that the priests were out to get him. But Judas went anyway, and sure enough, it led to trouble. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. This, by the way, is the third sign of a traitor. The first sign was love of glory or self. The second sign was love for the enemy. And the third sign is a love for money. Now, let me tell you the final reason that Benedict Arnold betrayed this nation. No doubt the Tory woman influenced him. No doubt the fact that he didn't get the glory he thought he deserved affected his decision. But like Judas, Benedict Arnold did it for the money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. With cool calculation, Benedict Arnold initiated correspondence with Sir Henry Clinton, the British commander, promising to deliver West Point and its 3,000 defenders for $20,000 in sterling. Apparently, that's about $1 million today. He was simply going to leave the gates unlocked and unguarded and let them walk in and take West Point without ever firing a shot. And the British thought, this will end the war. Fortunately, things didn't go the way Judas had planned. And George Washington, who happened to be out making rounds, found out that the gates were unlocked and there were no guards, and he stopped it. But Judas was already gone. And he still received about 6,000 in sterling. And he joined up with the British and fought against the colonies from that point on. Make no mistake about it. Benedict Arnold was a traitor. And so was Judas. Like Benedict Arnold, Judas was a traitor who sold out for money, plain and simple. Don't ever let anybody tell you he was some kind of patriot. Some movie a while back, was it called The Judas Project or something like that, made him look out to be like, really, that's all he wanted. And he was really just a good old patriot trying to force Jesus' hand. No, he wasn't. He was an absolute cold-blooded, cold-hearted traitor. Oh, he put on a good show. He pretended to care about the kingdom. He pretended to care about the people. He even pretended to care about poor people. Look at John chapter 12. Just jump down to verse 5 where he says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, he pretended to care, all right. But now look at verse 6 at what John said over on the top half of that page. This Judas said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was a thief. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Judas was a patriot. Don't ever let anyone tell you that he had good intentions. Don't ever let anybody tell you that he cared about the Israeli people. He did not care. He was only in it for what he could get. And Jesus did not call Judas a patriot. Jesus called him the son of perdition. And only one other person in Scripture is called the son of perdition. And who is that? The Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4. That man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself. You notice we're going right back to where we began? Caring about the glory. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. Do you notice how all these are linked together? Love for self, love for the enemy, love for money or possessions. Judas was no doubt guilty of them all. He was no patriot. He was an evil man. And Jesus said, look at Matthew 26, verse 24, and Jesus said that it would have been better if Judas had never, ever even been born. And like the Antichrist, like Satan, the final destination of Judas is the lake of fire, where he deserves to go. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall Jesus say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus pleaded with Judas on many occasions to repent. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Judas would not listen. Are you listening? Paul begged those in the church to examine themselves, to see whether they were in the faith, to prove them own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in them, unless they be reprobates. I ask you up front and bluntly, could you be a traitor? Could you be a traitor to Christ and not know it? Remember that a traitor is someone in the camp. The enemies are all outside the camp. A traitor is someone in the camp. Traitors are those who were once loyal to the one that they end up betraying. People that are only in it for what they can get are traitors. People who love the enemy more than they love Jesus are traitors. Where is your love? People that love things more than they love God are traitors. Where is your love? People that love God's enemies are traitors. Who do you love? Do you really love God? Or are you a traitor? Are you a patriot of Jesus Christ? Or are you a traitor? Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Remember, Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. And if you had seen him, you would have never known that he was a traitor. I've never known. Are you a traitor? That's the question. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country, for those men who died and bled and gave their lives so that we could come here today and worship you. We realize that there are many professing Christians, Lord, who may not be saved. We pray that you would convict those hearts so that they would turn to you before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.